He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on there and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
The 20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt Entz. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right, Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN. Good to be here on a Wednesday. August 13th on the calendar. Good to be here on this 4 o'clock hour, and good to be here. And we're providing you a much more pleasant experience after what you may have heard from that San Francisco Giants game before. So I don't know how much we'll spend time on it, but nothing much more to say other than the Giants are dead. Anyways, they'll be back on Friday. We'll talk about it then. Good to be here. Good to be alongside some great folks. We'll get to that real quick. Before we get to that, though, we got some sponsors to get to as far as that's concerned. Lee's Air Hotline, sponsored by Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. The Lee's Air Hotline is 559-320-1430. Once again, Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. The way to reach our show if you want to call in. Lee's also sponsors the Weather Check today. I thought we were out of the triple digits. I really thought so. We did touch 100 today, so according to my temperature app. So 100 degrees is what the temperature is currently outside, but nothing higher than that. It'll start to cool down, folks, by weekend's start on Saturday, 93 degrees. Sunday, 91. Monday, 91. How about that dipping in before those triple digits might come back at the tail end of next week. So, enjoy it while we got it. It's the ebb and flow of August as we are here in the dog days. But we are getting closer and closer to all of that fun action that we enjoy here in the Central Valley with football and everything like that. So take advantage of it this weekend as we get closer to those cooler relatively temperatures. 93 is not too, it's not cool, but there it is. Like I said, we are here on the show getting things rolling. 4 o'clock. We're going up to 6 o'clock today before we send it off right after that to Chukchansey Ballpark. Grizzlies baseball is on 1430 tonight. Tim Slack on the call talking Grizzlies versus the Stockton Ports. The Grizzlies getting a nice win last night, including a pair of hits for the number 4 overall pick last night, Ethan Holiday for the Grizzlies. He is a good ball player. Saw him last night. He is a guy who is going to certainly turn some heads when you're watching the Grizzlies this rest of the season. A's baseball coming up later today, 6:30 on 790, 7:05 first pitch as they wrap up their series against the Tampa Bay Rays, which we dubbed here the homeless series between the A's and the Rays. We are live. We are here. We are on YouTube. We are on Facebook. We're on Twitch. So we got the audience here. Like, subscribe, set your alerts so you know when we go live so you can watch our beautiful faces, beautiful, whatever you want to qualify it as. Somebody loves me. Anyways, we are here live on the all the way up to 6 o'clock today, like I said. So if you want to watch the video portion, there you go. And we are here. It is 4:06 right on the dot. We have a couple of characters in for the show today. First of all, over behind the glass, producer Jorge is behind the glass doing the bells and whistles and working the video as well. Jorge, doing a lot of double duty today, but how are you doing on this Wednesday afternoon?
I'm doing good.
Bad day to be a Giants fan.
You don't have to say it like that. It's like you just jamming.
I'm concerned about you, sir. I'm concerned about you.
I've gone through this before. I know what it's like. So.
Yeah, last year. It was last year. That's exactly what it was.
You're enjoying this too much.
I don't like seeing you in pain, but the joy of being correct about this baseball team is overcoming what is my sorrow for you. Anyways, also in studio, Ace is here.
Hello.
He has not been here for quite some time.
It's been a minute.
We decided we're going to give you double dosage of Ace on this show today. And it's good to have you in, bud. It's been a while.
I know. It's good to be back. Thanks for having me.
It's how you been? Update the people what you've been up to these last like month.
I've been like stupid busy, like work. We had this like really big sale that was like a week long, and it was like I just was there. I was just at work for ever.
Yeah.
And like I've just had like just stuff going on. My boss has had some stuff going on, so like I have to cover for him. So you know, usually my day's on Tuesday. We're kind of like ships in the night.
Mm-hmm.
Like the days that I had off, you're like, oh, I've got interviews or something on the show.
Or we got killed by the Giants or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so
exactly.
But yeah, I mean, you know, other than being busy, things are cool. They're cool. It's hot. I'm over it. I'm very much looking forward to September.
I cannot wait. October, I think, is. I think I'll officially be in the clear in October as far as that's concerned. But anyways, good to have you in, bud. We're going to have you in for 2 hours here today. And let me tell you, I think you have free reign to do whatever you want on the show, especially, I know for a fact, your girlfriend's not listening.
Yes.
Because we are counter-programming against what I believe is maybe the most watched YouTube video of all time, which I think is the New Heights podcast that has Taylor Swift on. That just literally dropped at 4 o'clock today.
No one's listening.
If you're a Swiftie, bless you. You are real loyal. I don't think there's a single person here who is under that category. So Asa, say what you want to say and don't worry about it because she's not listening.
Taylor Swift is mid.
Wow. If she texts us right now, we're in trouble and there's some talking to at 6 o'clock when you get home.
Tortured Poets sucked.
Whoa. Jorge, you got a response for any of that? Or
I got a message here.
You got a message?
No.
Oh, okay. I was like, no way.
I should just randomly. Uh-oh. I got a text message. Oh, boy. Oh, no. I'll show it to you after the break.
All right.
Unless she's going to text you, too.
She probably will.
Yeah, anyways.
Yeah, she just did.
You can't say some of the words on air, I don't believe.
Oh, man. That was worth it.
Anyways, will you be watching the pod when you get home? Or
I don't think I have a choice.
Will you be forced to watch the pod when you
get
home? Okay. Anyways, so there you go. That's what's happening right now. The biggest podcast in the history of humanity is happening. And we're here talking about other things.
Dude, what if the servers crash?
Is YouTube alive? Do we know if YouTube's alive?
Yeah, it's still good.
Okay.
Apparently, they had like part of it in the morning, like some pieces of it.
Yeah.
It's pre-recorded, so it's not live.
Little teasers.
Right. Okay.
I sent something yesterday, by the way. Did you see what the Carolina Hurricanes tweeted out? And it was it's just like peak corporate boss requests I've ever
just
seen.
So out of touch.
It's just like, hey guys.
Have you heard of this Taylor Swift girl?
Saw Taylor Swift is having a big podcast. Have we ever thought about doing something with her? Sure. And it's just like, as someone who has bosses who've done that before, not here, I'm not saying here, I'm saying bosses who've had that kind of mentality, I just sit there and stare blankly and don't understand exactly why they just feel like they have to step into that situation. So if anybody's ever felt that before, I had that experience, and I'm glad the Hurricanes enlightened me. Anyway,
did you feel vindicated?
I felt that more than anything in my life, was seeing that kind of email. By the way, prayers to the social people who are posting that, because I don't know if they're having a job afterwards complaining about it on
social media.
Honestly,
you know, it's one of those things like, you know, you fly too close to the sun, but
yeah.
Man, it was beautiful for a second.
Exactly. Anyways, trying to think of other big sports things that have happened while you've been away. Arizona Diamondbacks have traded about everybody they can think of in terms of everything, so sadness there.
Trailblazers got sold.
Trailblazers got sold?
For like $4 billion or something?
You know.
That's crazy.
It's just all funny money. But $4 billion.
To the guy that owns the Hurricanes. So.
The Carolina Hurricanes bought wow.
You're kidding.
Nope.
Are you being for real?
Yeah.
Their marketing team also going to send an email to the Portland Trailblazers like, hey, have you guys heard of this Taylor Swift girl? We should do like a promo with her or something.
First, the Hurricanes are sitting there. The execs of the Hurricanes are sitting there. First, the Blazers. Next, Taylor Swift. After that, the world.
The world.
Anyways, we are here. It is 4:11 on the clock, and we just watched Giants baseball. Do we got anything to talk about that one, Jorge? I saw one of the worst throws I've ever seen in my life in baseball with Elliot Ramos, but I guess Melvin was trying to defend him by saying he tried to hold up his throw while throwing to a guy that was not there. Ramos thought there was a player at a fielder at second, and nobody was there, and he kind of held the ball, and it just slipped out of his hands. But
yeah, I like that there was a triple by Jonghyun Lee.
Wow.
Yeah, RBI triple. That was good.
I'm telling you, I've never heard the Giants announcers, Kruk, Kipe, Dave, John, as fed up about a team as I've ever heard them today. They were full-blown crash-out mode, like, inning three. It was... It's as bad as I've ever heard it, in my opinion. I don't know. I got to go back and listen to the highlights of what Dave was saying on the radio side. But from what I heard on the TV side with Kruk and Kipe, it's those guys, they should be fun to listen to, and they are just, you know,
not having it.
I mean, they were talking about Outer Lands like by inning four. Like, they had nothing to talk about. Oh,
that was the weirdest bus trip I've ever been on, by the way.
Outer Lands?
So I went to the Giants Nationals game on Saturday. With our friend Imada and you know, her son, because she's a Nationals fan, and so we took the Caltrain, and so Steph was like, "Hey, like, we should probably leave a little early because we're gonna hit traffic because I guess outside lands
or outside question lands mark, that's what it question is, mark." Yeah.
And I'm like, "Oh, outside lands, you know,
Outer Lands is a video game. I apologize. Outside
that's
lands.
Fine.
Yes.
Like, oh yeah, like some festival is happening, and then like just the amount of children on that bus, or on the Caltrain was just." Like, where are you guys going dressed up the way that you are?
Yeah. Have you ever had any interest of going to outside lands?
Never. No. I don't like the big festivals because, one, the bands I like only charge $17.
True.
Like, for their tickets and stuff.
It's not too bad.
Two, the festivals are just... I've only been to one festival in my life. I never got to go to Warped Tour. That's a story for a different day. I went to Back to the Beach, and tickets were like $200, but it was like The Wonder Years, Real Big Fish, Streetlight Manifesto, like, all, like, my favorite bands. I'm like, okay, like, I will pay money for that. But, like, I don't know any of the bands that were at Outside Lands. So, like, if someone was like, I'll buy your ticket, I'd go.
Yeah.
But only because I'm going for free.
This is what I love about you and Steph, because you say, all the bands I like, I watch, I pay for $17 of a concert ticket.
It's...
And Steph will pay half a mortgage for Taylor Swift.
Stephanie, what my favorite story about, like, the dichotomy in our music choices is that Steph was ready to drop $2,400 on Taylor Swift tickets with an obstructed view.
Yes.
And was ready to go.
Yeah.
And I remember Real Big Fish, they came to like Fresno one time, and I'm like, ah, man, $45. I don't know if I want, like, $45 at Strummer's. I don't know if I want to do that.
It's like, you got to park.
I love you guys. I know. I'm like, I have to find parking in Tower, and I'm like,
and I do have to buy like thing. A couple drinks while I'm there.
Yeah. And I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
I don't want
to. Yeah. While like Steph's like, I'm willing to like crane my neck
100%
the entire 3 hours as she goes through her entire discography.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Which, by the way, is apparently being added because there's a new album. Anyways,
oh my God. I'd never thought of that. Even with I think Tortured Poets is still like an hour and a half long.
Which allegedly,
which is crazy.
Which allegedly, actually not allegedly, you did say in fact sucked. So
it's not good.
Not good. Anyways.
I shouldn't say it's not good. It's fine.
I had another thought when you were talking, and I totally got distracted by it. So I'll leave it at that. The other bit of news I wanted to bring up, and we had a little bit of a debate on the show before it came, is I wanted to give a special shout-out to your boy Cam Little.
My man.
Defend your guy. Should his kick be in the NFL Hall of Fame?
Yes, but only...
And records.
But only because... I mean, it's a skill shot. Like we were talking about before the show, like if you kick a ball 70 yards, the goalpost doesn't move. If you kick a ball 70 yards, that's between you, your leg, and God. Mm-hmm. All right. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you know, throwing a 99 yard touchdown pass, it's like, okay, like, you know, you're some dude's first year professional ball. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, I don't want to say it's shooting fish in a barrel. You still have to get the ball, you know, you still have to throw it. And, you know, have the receiver catch it and everything. But kicking a football, really, really hard to do. I can actually say this from experience because that was a thing that I did for a little while.
You tried that for a little bit. And you were doing your social media thing and you were having fun.
I was. And then I got busy and I kept hurting my leg.
That is true. I mean,
so I quit doing it.
Age is a cruel mistress.
I know. I hate it. Not a fan.
Jorge, I want to know. You clearly are entrenched in the idea that this is something that shouldn't matter and shouldn't be... part of NFL history.
No. I never said it shouldn't matter. I never said that.
Okay. Well, you said it should not be a record.
No. I said that it should be a record, but a preseason record.
Okay.
So he wants the asterisk.
I think it's still a record, yes, but it happened during the preseason.
I'm looking it up. Is there a Guinness World Record for longest field goal? Because at least it would be in the Guinness book, right?
That's fine.
But I think with a Guinness World Record, you have to have like a actual Guinness like representative like present.
According to Guinness World Records, the longest claim kick is one of 78 yards barefooted by Ching Du Kim at Honolulu Stadium in November 23rd of 1944.
What?
Yep. That's on the GuinnessWorldRecords.com website.
That's crazy.
78 yards he kicked it barefoot.
Barefoot.
What year? 1948?
44.
Oh, man. I was hoping it was going to be like 1862, and it's Ching Du Kim. Oh, okay.
Ching Du Kim of Honolulu, Hawaii.
What's the context? Was it like a University of Hawaii game?
It says American football, non-NFL. Okay. I don't know. I
guess we're just counting pickup games in the park
now. Why don't we have more
now?
Barefooted kickers in the NFL, by the way?
Okay, so why are you guys arguing that that's not really a record? Because he did kick 78 yards.
Yeah. Because I'll count it. I'd count it if it was in the NFL. But it's a Guinness World Record. I just think the factor that you're putting in of it being in the preseason and that he's like not going up against strong competition because of the front line just simply doesn't feel like it's like in like it's not even like a tenth or a 32nd of a factor to me of like
no my grievance is that it's not in a real regular season record. It's not real.
It's not occurring during the season when the games count.
Are you saying there was like because there's no pressure on the guy to make the kick?
Yes.
But isn't he trying to like show he can do it?
I played football before on a kickoff and or on a extra point.
Pressure or not, you want to show to your coach you can do this and say, hey, I'm a weapon like this, right?
I mean, I played football in high school and even the non-conference games like in the beginning of the year. I mean, I was like third string wide receiver and I still took it at least an iota seriously.
I agree with that. But you're saying, what you're saying is that it doesn't count if a guy throws 500 yards on a game.
Because he just won't preseason. Nobody will. In their right mind will happen. Or you're going to have a fight at midfield between the head coaches. It's going to happen.
This is what I'm saying. It's not the same record then. Because for whatever reason, everybody doesn't believe that this game is counts for anything. But on a regular season game, that's on the record book. That's a regular
just because it doesn't. I'm more marveling at the physical feat of it. That's it. It's all I want to do.
That's the same.
I don't think pressure is a factor into it.
I
also argue that in the Florida August mid afternoon air, it's disgusting.
I think they say, like, things fly better in humidity. And I think that because, what is it, at Camden?
Camden
Yards.
That's in Baltimore?
Yeah. They're like, oh, yeah, like, that ball that apparently, like, hit, like, the side of the factory, whatever that brick facade is. They're like, oh, yeah, it was, like, super humid that day. So, like, the ball, like, just flew better.
I thought humid would just, like.
I thought
dry Colorado air is, like, what it is. You don't want humid as far as, like.
No. What it is that the air is thinner. It's not drier. It's just thinner.
Yeah.
So the ball. Yeah. So like the weight travels faster.
Yeah. So the
So isn't the air thick if it's humid? I don't know.
Yes.
Should we get a scientist on air?
We could.
You got an aerospace science guy?
Let me make a call.
All right. See if you can make a call, Jorge. We're gonna take a break. When we come back, we're gonna talk some Fresno State next on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here, 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Back in for this entire show. Ace is in this entire show, so I can't wait to get into this next segment, which is we're going to get into some serious football talk for a little bit here.
Ooh.
You ready to talk some opponents, Fresno State opponents?
Yeah, let's do
this year? First of all, Have you been reading up on anything coming out of Fresno camp, Fresno football camp? Any questions or anything that like stands out to you about what you want to know about this team? Like what are some big question marks for you about this Fresno State team going?
I mean, defense has always been like kind of like my bugaboo with Fresno State as a whole. But I'm guessing that they've kind of shored some things up.
You'd hope
some things up.
You'd hope. Yeah. It's just simply you got to see it in execution. Yeah. In terms of that, but this team. Obviously there was a lot of new faces, coming in, including our quarterback position. And, the quarterback position is the one that I think a lot of people pay attention to.
Yeah.
EJ Warner, the starter, you probably as many other people, do you feel confident in that selection? Him being the guy who has the most experience, starting wise,
you know what, there was a real part of me that really wanted Jaden Mandel because, you know, I don't know, local kid, like that's a cool story, but you know, if I believe in Coach Entz, and if he thinks that, you know, EJ's the guy, then EJ's the guy. I like what he said, that he's like, it's not a short leash, but, you know, we're going to make sure he's doing what he's supposed to be doing.
Yeah, because I think, and I pointed this out, and I wonder if you got the same vibe. Maddenly, so much during last year that they defended Keen a little bit too much. I think they were like, confidence is so important, blah 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 blah, he's our guy. Mm-hmm. here's all these other factors of why he's throwing these interceptions, and it's just quite simply I'm like, sometimes it's just lack of execution on that front. So
can I share a fun fact about Mikey Keene?
Sure.
Guess who is number two on Michigan's depth chart?
Him.
It is him.
Yeah.
He is getting beat out by a freshman right now.
I think Michigan should not be ranked right now in the AP, but yet they are every year.
I mean, it's a legacy thing. It's like, they've been so good at football for so long. It's like, oh my God, they're not ranked. What do you mean?
But they were bad last year. So
I don't think they were bad. I think they were
7-5. I mean,
that's bad.
That's bad to Michigan.
For Michigan, yeah.
So what did that tell you about this? AP polls, I hate them. I think they're the worst. I think nobody knows anything. I think the writers, for the most part, who are involved in AP poll, don't give two bleeps about it. Just roll it out. Oh, hey, Boise.
Let's just give it to Boise. Why not?
Yeah, let's put them in the top 25. Anyways, I don't sound better at all.
death taxes, Boise State coming in at 24 or 25.
We're going to double up on a couple of our opponent preview. Obviously, next week is the final week before we have the games for real. So we got a couple teams to talk about coming in. Wyoming and Utah State, just to kind of go off of that. Two teams, Fresno State, I don't believe played last year.
No.
Am I remembering that correctly, Jorge? I don't think we had Wyoming or Utah State in our schedule last year, which is two teams that didn't really perform very well last year.
We might
year.
Have Utah State, but no Wyoming.
I'm not seeing Utah State on our schedule. I know we played them 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And we won. It was a Friday night, and it was a 5-point win over Utah State. A couple years ago. I remember that.
Was that in Utah?
It was at Utah.
Yeah, it was in Provo.
It was on CBS Sports Day. I remember exactly. I don't know why I have such a vivid memory of that game. The last time we played Wyoming was the game where we were like, rank us?
Yeah.
Put us on Fox primetime, and we laid an egg.
Yep.
And I think Mikey got hurt, and I think somebody else came in.
Yeah, that was the Logan. I think that was the Logan Fife game.
Fife tried to come back, get the comeback going, and somebody threw a pick at the end of the game to lose. But the Bulldogs outscored the Cowboys 12-0 in that final bit of that score. It was 24-7 at the half. And the Bulldogs had a furious comeback at the end of it, but not to be. Both of these games, Utah State, Wyoming, back-to-back home games in back-to-back weeks. I think that's the only instance of that happening this year for the Bulldogs this year. So that'll be interesting to see. Also, Fresno State coming off a bye against Wyoming after that Boise game, so nice to get refreshed there. A little reminder who Wyoming was last year. Really just a tough team to watch in terms of football last year, if you recall. Craig Bull disappeared. Not disappeared, he retired. That's how it works. He was out for the year as far as that's concerned, and they went 3-9 last year in terms of that. Ooh.
That's rough.
And I can give you some statistics, and I can give you some results. I think best to just kind of see what they had last year. Jay Saville was the head coach last year. Wyoming's only wins were, a double-digit win over Air Force, who we knew Air Force was a dangerous team. They beat New Mexico in a shootout, and then they had a really kind of eye-opening one-point victory at Washington State to close out the year. It was like, okay, there you go.
That's a high note to go out on.
I mean, they only lost. They got stronger to the tail end of the year. They only lost to Boise at home by 4, 17-13 in that sense. So Boise was, of course, coming on strong there. Absolutely out, just destroyed by Arizona State. But then Arizona State, we knew what they were. Other results that stand out. San Diego State, they lost by 3, lost by 10 to San Jose, lost by 2 to Utah State. So a lot of tough losses in terms of that for Wyoming. But I just didn't feel like the offense was at all where it needs to be in terms of being a winner. And so they're trying to fix that for sure. And I'm wondering what that'll look like as far as the transfer portal is concerned. So I don't worry about this Wyoming game simply because we're coming off a bye, coming off of home, and it feels like it's on the back-to-back stretch. The Bulldogs are going to be in California the entire rest of the year after the Boise game, which is just – I love when the schedule sets up that nicely.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, seems like they're still trying to figure out a quarterback competition as well in terms of their team. But I don't know if any – I don't know if you got a chance to watch some Wyoming football last year. Is there any thoughts about Wyoming? And I wonder if they – if this is a program that just is struggling in the new transfer portal era because it's just like, where's the glamour of Wyoming football, especially when you don't have like a top-tier coach like Greg Bull is.
It's so funny because when you're talking about like the transfer portal, I'm like, oh, that's – how do you sell the state of Wyoming?
Yeah.
Honestly. Like, you were there.
Yeah.
Like it's, I'm sure. It's beautiful.
There's a subsection of people who like that part of the country. Let me tell you.
And you know, more power to them.
Very cheap to live in.
I feel like there are not a lot of athletes that are like, yeah, Wyoming sounds dope. I'd love that.
They've revamped their secondary, according to what I'm reading here. They do have a pretty decent defense, so I'm wondering. It's going to be interesting to see. This is one of those games I could see a situation where this Bulldog squad can just kind of like, if it's a slow start, it can just kind of be annoying.
Yeah.
It can be kind of one of those annoying games.
It's
going
to be frustrating. And
it's just going
to
be
they're probably going to force the offense to make mistakes.
You're sitting there in the fourth quarter. It's like 16 to 14, and you're just like, ugh.
Like this game should not be as close as it is.
Right. Jorge, like, that's the danger of a game like this. It could lull you asleep a little bit with an opponent who maybe doesn't have teeth, but it can kind of bring you down a little bit. And I think Wyoming is going to try to do that to some opponents this year with, I would say, the lack of offensive firepower. I think their defense is legit, but I worry about a game like this for Fresno, especially coming off of a bye. You never know how sharp you are coming off a bye. Is there a concern of this Wyoming game for you?
It's always dangerous to play one of those games because much like the Hawaii game from last year, you know, you're thinking, I have this game. Even if you're doing good halfway through the game, it could all come down to the second half and how the team, you know, gets relaxed and all of a sudden they make a game out of it and now you're trying to not lose this game that you originally had in the bag. But, yeah, it's always difficult, but it has come down to the player's mentality and how to stay in the game.
Yeah, I do firmly believe this Fresno State team is much more talented. It's funny to see the parallels, though, of coaches that leave North Dakota State, and Wyoming is the latest team to have that, Chris Klieman in between that, and now it's Entz, and we've seen success on all three of those fronts, at least two of them. We'll see what Entz provides. It is interesting to see the history of Wyoming and how good they were. Josh Allen years provided, and they were in a Mountain West championship against San Diego State, in the second year of that 10-year Craig Bowles era. So there's a lot of juice there when it comes to seeing what North Dakota State coaches can do post their North Dakota State career. But I just wanted to point that out because Wyoming is a good example of where you can be as a program for guys that come from there. And I hope that's the case with Entz. And I want people to maybe recognize where Wyoming was, I'm talking like 10 years ago now when Craig Bull came in. It's kind of mind-boggling. That was 10 years ago.
I think that's when Allen was just there, right?
Yeah, like he was there.
First few years?
Yeah. And even then, he was doing a lot with nothing. I'm telling you, there were some quarterbacks there. Woof. They shouldn't be playing football. And he still won some games. Tyler Vanderwall's the name. I'm just like, ugh. I'm remembering. I'll get to Utah State real quick. Because that's another team we're facing. Bronco Mendenhall, the leader.
Hell of a name.
We remember Bronco Mendenhall from New Mexico, right? Is that where I'm trying to remember? Or was he UNLV? I get those two teams.
I think it's New Mexico State instead of.
He was New Mexico. So here, Bronco Mendenhall's a fascinating career. Let's tell you. BYU, then he went off to Virginia, took Virginia to an Orange Bowl. And then after.
Like the Cavaliers?
Yes, Virginia University. After 3 years off, he then went to New Mexico. And New Mexico was decent. I think they kind of fell off last year. And had one of the best offenses in the nation. Now he's bringing it to Utah State. But I wonder where that transition's going. Bronco Mendenhall has been very good everywhere he's gone in terms of head coaching. I almost say he's kind of one of the more underrated guys to do it. It's kind of fascinating to see this evolution. And I wonder what Utah State's going to look like under him. Because when you see these kind of quick turnarounds from these different places, then you could see a lot of teams being caught off guard with this. So I'm paying attention to the Utah State game. I wonder what that game will look like with a coach. Of course, late in the year, you're going to see a lot more teams comfortable in what they're doing. But on the flip side, who knows who's playing in those games by the end of the year because of the injury situations like that.
Yeah.
But does it worry you that we have a guy coaching at Utah State that is a dangerous guy in this conference in terms of what he could turn into with Utah State there?
I mean, if I've learned anything in my short time of watching college football, it's any given Saturday, things can just flip.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially with college football, with how every game matters, you know, Utah State's going to come to play. They're no slouch.
You want to know where Bronco Mendenhall's offense ranked last year at New Mexico?
Give it to me.
Fourth in the nation.
What?
Fourth in the nation.
Was that like yards per play or like overall
offense? Wow. Overall offense based off the grading there.
Wait, so he was at Utah State last year?
No. This is his first year at Utah State. He left New Mexico. Utah State obviously is one of those teams going over to the Pac-12 next year.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're in that transition. So it obviously was maybe more of an attractive job because Bronco Mendenhall is the guy to lead them into that Pac-12 next season. So I got to imagine that's why he jumped ship from New Mexico to Utah State.
Also, New Mexico was having a lot of inside problems.
Wasn't there something going on?
Yeah.
There was like a scandal thing, right?
Really?
Yeah, it was. He didn't like it. It was weird.
I think that's fair.
Look out, man. Look out for Utah State. I'm telling you right now, I think they're an interesting, weird, overlooked situation. And I'm not saying that because I played Utah State as Utah State in a college football dynasty we were in for years and years on end. I wanted to leave. I wanted to leave so bad. I could not do it.
I'm going to use a phrase I don't like to say, but could you say that they're sneaky good?
Sneaky good is a good term for Utah State. I'm not saying so because we're going to have San Jose State's preview next week, so we won't get there. But if I had to like do the tiers of like sneaky weird games we could lose, Utah State's one. I would also say Nevada. And I could also say, I don't even think sneaky is Georgia Southern. I think Georgia Southern is what Georgia Southern is. That's it.
Fun belt.
Yeah. I think Nevada and Utah State's like games we should win, but don't be totally surprised if somebody slips there in terms of that, which I would not like to see that, but I'm just hedging my bets. I'm a guy who hedges my bets when it comes to my expectation for the Bulldogs simply because I don't like to get disappointed. Man, last year sucked.
last year hurt.
Last year hurt a lot. And the Bulldog fans are ready for a different vibe to that. So it's going to be interesting to see those two back-to-back games play out. A lot of emotion to it. Obviously, senior day that day as well, Utah State. And we'll see how it all plays out. But those are the couple opponents we're talking about there. Utah State, Wyoming. One team leaving, one team going in terms of the Mountain West to the Pac-12. All right, let's take a quick break. I can't wait for ASA. I don't know if you've ever done this segment before.
I have.
50 states in 50 days?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I've done it once, and I think it was like Nebraska.
That's right. Well, we got Maryland today. So I wonder what that'll look like. Jorge's ready to play as well. Can't wait.
Always.
Have you heard the music yet?
Oh, there's music now?
Oh, man. I can't wait. 50 states
in 50. Don't spoil it for him.
I'm not playing it now, no. He's going to have to hear it after the break is over. 50 States in 50 Days Trivia, next on 1430 ESPN. Thanks, Asa, for the glorious air drumming you've seen on the YouTube stream there. Fantastic. We got him, folks. We got him. Ladies and gentlemen, we got him. It's been a while.
I might not have heard of the music because I had to, you know.
Yeah, you had to kill it on the YouTube audience. So, you know,
because it looked
imagine
great.
You watching
great.
That and it's like, why is he just playing air drums?
Apparently, you can't show that in Russia for many reasons. I don't know. Apparently, there's no music allowed in Russia. We've been getting dinged like every day about like music choices on the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
It's just because Russia's like, no.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. So
I think you could say that about anything in Russia.
Sorry, Russian audience. Once again, you're not allowed to watch my show.
I know. Sorry to Pyotr out in Leningrad.
Yeah. Hey, is Leningrad still a thing?
I actually don't know.
I don't think it is. Actually, never mind. We're not going to go to politics here. I'm just going to avoid that. Moving on.
Oh, it's St. Petersburg now.
Yeah.
I learned something today.
Our president said Leningrad, and people are concerned. Anyways, that's it. All right, we're going to do our 50 states in 50 days trivia. And Ace, are you ready to test your knowledge?
Bring on the crabs.
So Ace's shot at the 50 states in 50 days and Jorge's favorite segment of all time. Are you ready for Maryland? Some heavy hitters for Maryland. Let me tell you, there are some big names.
I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
Oh boy. Top three athletes on the board. I don't know about this ranking, but we're going to figure it out. Here we go. First athlete, number three ranked athlete from the state of Maryland, Jorge Asa. Blurt it out when you know it. This number three athlete is an MLB Hall of Famer. He is an MVP. He's a two-time All-Star. He's won 7 World Series and a batting title.
7 World Series?
Yes.
What years was he in the MLB?
We are going way back to the 20s and 30s.
Oh, it's going to be like some Tungsten Toe McGee or something.
It certainly wouldn't be. You know, you've heard of this name before.
Okay. Babe Ruth.
Yes. Get off your list.
It's the name.
Babe Ruth from Maryland?
I knew who it was.
Yeah.
Right? I knew who it was
okay.
Right away.
You were listening. Okay, you're fine. I'll give you credit there. Babe Ruth, yes.
I had no idea.
Babe Ruth from the great state of Maryland. I would have given you would have figured it out after the other two clues because I would have said third all-time in career home runs and had a career moment called the shot, the called shot.
Well, you said 7 titles, so I was like...
7 titles, there's a lot. It's not many guys who can say they had 7
titles.
Yeah. All right. Next up. This will be very obvious as well. How about it? 28 Olympic medals for this guy. 23 of them gold.
Michael Phelps.
Yes, there you go. Michael Phelps.
Yeah. I did not know he was from Maryland either.
Notorious Baltimore Ravens fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think, like, I see him at a... They show him at a Baltimore Ravens game, like, every year when he was there. Has the most world records set by swimming by a male with 39 records set between 2001 and 2009. Obviously, his 08 Beijing Olympics. Go run. 8 golds, 8 events, most ever in one Olympics. Number one athlete on the board is an MLB Hall of Famer. 2-time MVP. He won Rookie of the Year. 19-time All-Star. He won a Home Run Derby. He's a 2-time Gold Glover. 8-time Silver Slugger. Oh, and he also has a World Series ring.
It's not Cal Ripken.
Yeah.
Is that a guess?
No, I mean, I don't think it's him. And you're not confirming it.
I am a game show
host.
Okay,
fine. okay, fine. I'm going to guess Cal Ripken Jr.
Yeah.
It is Cal Ripken Jr.
Oh, let's go!
You had me sus because you were in, it's not Cal Ripken, and I was going to say Cal Ripken, and I'm like, wait, it's not?
I didn't know he was actually from Maryland. I just know he
Cal
played
Ripken
for
Jr.
the Orioles.
Playing for his hometown Wow. Baltimore Orioles. What gave it away?
To me, it was the 19 All-Star games.
He is one of like maybe three people that I know that is from the state of, that played in Maryland.
How do you know he's from the state of Maryland?
I didn't know he was in the state of Maryland. I guessed, Philip.
You just said Oriole must be from Maryland?
Yep.
I don't know how he stumbled into that. I want the game show music to play longer. he holds the record for most All-Star selections as a shortstop in MLB history.
That helps when you've played for like 25
years.
And
he also has the most games played consecutively in Major League Baseball.
That's crazy.
2,632. The kids these days would never.
No, absolutely
would never.
Would never. Other notable athletes from the state of Maryland. Here we go. How about Lefty Grove, Jimmy Fox, Al Kaline? We're going to the olds there. A little bit more modern. Mark Teixeira, Harold Baines, Hall of Famer. How about NFL receiving leader this year, Stephon Diggs, the Patriots. How about Julian Peterson? Niner fans like him. Oh. Doug Flutie, short guy.
Oh, hey.
For the short kings out there, quarterback. Len Bias, RIP. Steve Francis, Jeff Green, Sam Cassell, Danny Ferry, Josh Hart, Victor Oladipo, Angel McCautry, and Dominique Dawes.
Going back to Babe Ruth, it is very funny to me imagining Babe Ruth asking for like a bagel like in New York City and then going home and putting Old Bay on it.
Do you think how old is Old Bay?
I mean, it's old. It's in the name.
The seasoning?
You can't just call it old and say
it's old.
I
think it doesn't get a name because it's old. It gets named because it's from the Old Bay.
Okay. By the way,
Bay is the one that's old.
You're wrong. Old Bay was created in 1939. I think Babe Ruth died right before that.
Oh, my God. He never got to experience the best seasoning. I don't actually know if it's the best seasoning.
Okay,
just
he died in 1948. Okay.
He could have eaten it. He could have been to the promised land.
It may have killed him.
There's a non-zero chance that it killed him.
Just kind of, you know, just like the, what's the joke? The Renaissance kid versus Old Bay? Like...
Oh, like the small Victorian, the sickly Victorian child.
Yeah, versus
old tuberculosis.
Versus Old Bay seasoning.
You know, there's a funny thing. When I went to Baltimore, visit there, the Hilton that we were staying at, they had Old Bay in the rooms.
Did they? In the hotel room? Just little packets?
Little packets.
Yeah. You want to guess the nickname of the Maryland? What the state nickname is?
Old Bay.
The Old Bay.
We have one joke.
And we're burying it into the ground. You got half of the name right.
State by the bay? State of the bay?
The blank state. You know what
The bay state?
No, the old line state.
The old line state?
Old line state. There you go. State food? Blue crab.
Yep.
And Smith Island cake. I don't know what that is. But apparently Maryland's most popular sport, NFL, apparently, according to them. And there you go. I've run out of time. Or I've run out of things to talk about. Tomorrow we do Texas, by the way.
Ooh.
I'm surprised we're only getting three athletes from the state of Texas here. We go Texas, and then we go Vermont on Friday.
Vermont.
And Pennsylvania to close things out there in our 50 states.
I feel like Vermont, you're going to have to like really dig.
They're giving us Puerto Rico for some reason, but I don't have any athletes here. It doesn't even give you like a couple of them. Yadier Molina, Felix Trinidad, Puerto Ricans out there.
Boxer.
I think Alex Cora, my Red Sox manager from Puerto Rico.
Oh.
So. Felix Trinidad is a boxer?
Yeah. Felix Trinidad.
How good is he?
Back in the day, he beat Oscar De La Hoya.
He beat Oscar?
Oh, wow.
Debatable.
Yeah, debatable.
He won, but did he mean it?
Oh, did the judges mean it?
It was controversial. They went to a second match, and it was still controversial.
I mean, what boxing match isn't controversial, Jorge? Like, find me a non-consequential boxing match.
I find a couple where the guy just gets...
What, Manny Pacquiao 3 weeks ago when I went to Vegas at the same time?
Let's not talk about that.
The draw. All right. What are we doing in the next hour? Because... we got a little bit of time left. 5 at 5, Asa, myself, Jorge, you can be a part of this too. Top 5 preseason games you're going to watch this weekend. We'll do that next because we got the slate up ahead here. I also got an interview today Alexis Campbell came in earlier today. She's a fantastic soccer player for Fresno State soccer. So we're going to have her interview coming up in a little bit in the second hour as well. We're going to be wrapping up the show. So one more hour here, and then we're going to be tossing it to Tim Slack and the Fresno Grizzlies side, who their pregame starting at 6:35 today, 6:50 first pitch against Portland. Not the Portland, the Stockton Ports. The Stockton Ports.
The Portland Stocks.
Yes. I've been thrown off. AC used confusion.
It was super effective.
And I'm using an escape rope. We'll be back one more hour next on 1430 ESPN.
He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. It's, is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Excuse me. We are live for one more hour on this show. Good to be here. Good to be alongside some great people. Jorge, Asa in as well. Asa in the afternoons on a Wednesday. And it's a good time because we're in our final hour, and usually the final hour is always the one where we cook, right? Is that what the kids say nowadays?
Let him cook.
Let him cook. I have never felt more old in my life.
Speaking of cooking, if I write you a jingle for Ace in the Afternoons, would you use it?
Or hey, can we produce something like that, right?
Of course.
Well, I could do it.
You could do it, and then we'll produce it and put it in. And, yeah.
All right, I have something to do when I get home now.
Hey, Ace in the Afternoons.
It just has to have Joker and the Thief in the background.
Ah!
Just like...
All right.
just the intro.
It's going to be... I'm going to make it loosely based on Joker and the Thief.
All I want to hear is just the... that's all I want to hear. That's all I want to hear. It's like a subtle nod to it. It's just like randomly. It doesn't even fit.
It's just a non sequitur. Like, yeah. Why is that there?
Yeah, I love it. I love it as far as that's concerned. Anyways... we're going to have a good hour here. We got our 5 of 5 to get to. We're going to talk some NFL preseason. I kind of picked this preseason centric 5 of 5 thinking we had games tomorrow, but all we have is 2 games Friday, and then everything and their mother is on Saturday, and maybe a couple games Sunday and 1 game Monday. So this is a weird week of preseason, I would say, in the schedule sense of things. Monday night preseason game. Anyways,
that is strange.
Bengals Commanders is what we're getting there, but
Why Monday?
I think they want the Monday night crew to have like a game.
Like a dry run.
I think this is the warm up week for the telecast people. Like, there's a Fox crew that does a game. There's a CBS crew that does a game.
Oh, that makes sense.
There's the
they have a preseason. They have a preseason too.
NBC's gonna get a game, and ESPN's gonna get a game. Right?
They're doing different times too. So
yeah,
That's why they're especially when they do the 2-a-day. Monday night.
Yeah.
That's when they have the different times. So I think that's why they're doing that.
Well, we're going to do our 5 of 5 here, and it's going to be based around what games we're most excited to see or most interested in seeing. So we'll start off with the intro here.
It's time now for Phil's 5 of 5.
Yeah, I think that's a proper introduction there. When we're talking the preseason, there's all kinds of multitude of factors of what we want to see in terms of what kind of things we're looking for. Ace, what qualifies to you as a preseason game you're interested in watching?
Oh, it's my favorite. Vibes. Yeah.
I don't even know why I ask anymore.
I mean, interesting matchups. You're going to hate my number one. It's super a sickos pick, but I don't even care.
We'll see if we align with it. Jorge, what's a good preseason matchup for you?
The pretty much the line of who's going to play what and if their starters are going to play and injuries too.
Yeah. I apologize. I just moved. His
laptop squeaked and it like hit my ears in the wrong way.
Yes.
And I gave him a look and I'm very sorry.
Or I understand and I respect you and your opinion there. And I apologize. I got distracted by the computer. anyways, I'm excited to hear what your top five is, Jorge.
Me too.
And with that, we get into
hot start.
Five. Jags Saints.
No way.
I'm more and more curious about what the Travis Hunter experiment looks like. And he got a little bit of a touch out there as far as that's concerned with the first preseason game. I'd imagine they're going to try to ramp it up a little bit this week. And plus, whatever the, you know, what disaster that the Saints are putting out a quarterback, I hope Haener looks a little bit better. That was a rough pick, buddy. but everybody else is looking bad, too. And so it is a race to the floor for where the Saints are going to go for in their starting quarterback situation. I enjoy beautiful disasters in preseason and feels like the Saints are considered. And by the way, we're in a dome. Cam Lill's kicking a 75-yarder in this game.
Oh, my God. If that happens, we're going to have to argue with with Jorge again.
Yes, exactly.
Does this one count?
No, it was in a dome. Anyways, Jags Saints. That's where I start.
My number five is also Jags Saints.
Yeah.
Because I don't like my homer picks to be too high up there.
Just you think people are judging you.
No, it's not people. It's you.
I don't. It's fine. Jags Saints is interesting.
I think Jags Saints is interesting. Yeah, the Travis Hunter experiment. I think they're going to leave the starters out a little bit longer. I'm really interested in what this what the Jags offense is going to look like. Obviously, they're not going to go full tilt. I also am looking forward to seeing Jake Haener. I feel like I don't know. They have such a weird thing going on at quarterback, and yeah, it's a race to the bottom, and like it sucks because like. Jake Haener is like what got me into college football and like watching Fresno State because I was like his biggest hype man or whatever.
Yeah.
And I would love to see him succeed at the professional level. And I don't think the Saints are doing him justice.
We'll see where it all turns. And I don't know. Maybe he gets the grace of not even having to play this.
Yeah.
Week. And I'd rather him be somewhere else. Jorge, what's your number five?
Oh, I got the Browns versus the Eagles here.
Yeah. Speaking of beautiful disasters.
Yeah, I want to see Sherwood. See what
give it to me.
Cause he's a little bit injured, so I don't know if he's gonna start up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to see what's up with that.
We're talking 2025 starter Joe Flacco. Is that what I'm hearing?
Is what you were hearing?
Is that what you're hoping for?
Like, is this the bet? Is this the best scenario?
In the year of our Lord 2025, Joe Flacco will be starting quarterback. Yes, still slinging it at whatever he's doing. I don't know how old he is. 39.
Pushing 40, yeah, if he's not already.
Pushing 40. Anyways, I heard an interesting thing from one of my favorite YouTubers I watch. He said that once you hit 40, you just count down your age. And then anything after 80, like when you get back to zero, it's a bonus. That's what he said.
Okay.
And I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Kind of think that's a good mindset. So.
All right.
But also gives a little bit of a grim idea where your mortality is when you start counting down. You're like, oh, I'm on a countdown now.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. That's not fun. All right, let's get to number four.
Number four.
I got Titans and Falcons. Titans and Falcons. I'm more interested in the rookie quarterback again. Something is, like, weirdly scratching at my brain about the Titans being, like, a little bit more composed and a team that I can maybe see get a little frisky this year. I know you have your reservations with the Titans, but I wonder if there's some upside here with Tennessee. And I wonder if we're going to see it with a little more of a prolonged kind of look at what that is going to look like. That's a Friday game, Titans and Falcons. So I'm interested in that. I'm interested in I think the Falcons, obviously they're coming off that grim situation last preseason game with Maurice Norris. And so I wonder what they're going to actually kind of like work through as actually an actual real kind of full football game through it. So Titans, Falcons, I'm sitting there at number four. More for the rookie quarterback and more for some other things as well.
I got Panthers, Texans.
Okay.
I'd like to see, you know, a slightly more professional Bryce Young.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would love more than most things if Cam Robinson is trash at left tackle
you,
for the Texans.
You have a vendetta.
I do. And like Christian Kirk's over there, and it's like don't get me wrong, Christian Kirk's one of those like glass cannons. Like, he will screw up your defense, or he will just absolutely just crush himself doing so.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see how he fits, because I think the Texans have weapons.
Oh, yeah.
Tank Dell.
Nico Collins.
Yeah, Nico Collins. Christian in the slot, like that's gonna go crazy.
We'll see. I'm worried about their pass protection.
I am also worried about that because I had Cam Robinson on my team for a long time.
Yeah,
dude, he will defend you after you get he lets someone destroy you.
Yeah, exactly. Jorge, where are you at number four?
I want to see Pittsburgh versus Tampa Bay.
Ooh, Pittsburgh versus Tampa.
I want to see if you know, Aaron Rodgers comes out and throws some balls.
That was my honorable mention.
Yeah.
I also think that's going to be a fun one.
Are we going to get, like, full-blown? Because this is, like, the first time we're going to see Rodgers in preseason very long time.
Right?
Like, very long time.
I want to see if he's still the same Rodgers or not.
Yeah, true. Tampa, they have that rookie wide receiver. I think the depth there, still an interesting battle, per se. And Tampa's got a lot. They're one of my dark horse Super Bowl teams, Tampa.
Yeah.
As far as that's concerned, they're starting to become the most consistent part of the NFL right now, which is something I would not have believed, even
honestly,
after the Brady years. Let's get to number three.
Number three.
I got Packers, Colts. Once again, the Colts are being a situation still trying to figure out in the quarterback position, Daniel Jones, although it seems like more Daniel Jones is going to get it because Anthony Richardson is in an injury situation. So maybe that quarterback position's already won. Jordan Love is coming off of the injury situation now too. Say he's going to be ready week one. So there's some battle of the backup possibilities between these two teams. But also I want to see some of the younger weapons on both these offense in turn, because I think there's some interesting maybe fantasy development situations in this game. Some guys emerging because there's a lot of fluidity between these offenses. Packers obviously just kind of feel like they have a better grasp on their situation. The Colts are still trying to figure it out as well. Fascinating that I have three AFC South games involved in my top five so far. But I got Packers Colts here.
I have Niners Raiders.
Okay.
Because I want to watch Ashton Jeanty do stuff.
He didn't do stuff last time.
He did not do stuff last time.
No.
But I would love to see him do stuff. And I don't know if he's going to be able to against a run defense of the Niners.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it'll be fun.
All right.
I think it's got potential.
Okay. Jorge, where you at?
I will take the Jets against the Giants.
Why would you do that?
Because I want to see how much they suck.
There it is.
Jorge likes watching car crashes. Let me tell you, folks.
I want to see a burn.
Yeah.
Well, there's interesting lines to see who's really going to be out for the quarterback job in both
have
teams.
Is Russell Wilson the guy, or is that still like fluid for the Giants? I think Dart looked pretty good last week. I don't know if you saw that game. Against Buffalo.
Yeah, Dart had all the highlights.
Yeah.
But I think Russell might still have the edge there.
Well, I think Russell will because Russ didn't even play in that first preseason game. I did like seeing Dart play. I think that's a good pick because I thought I was locked in a little bit on that game. I think it was Sunday morning, Bills and Giants. The Jets, I'm not locked in at all, and I don't – I'm only locked in and watching them lose.
Yeah.
So – I have no faith in Justin Fields making it happen because the Jets can't ever figure it out in terms of their quarterback position. So, good pick. I like that pick. Let's go to number two.
Number two.
Bills and Bears. How about Bills and Bears in Chicago?
That was another one of mine that I was thinking
of. Caleb Williams is apparently going to play. They're going to make him play in this game and maybe expose what maybe his issues potentially have been in this preseason. I don't hear the greatest vibes of it, but Ben Johnson has expressed that he wants to see some guys in action. So Caleb will be playing in this preseason game. Wonder what that will look like, especially against a revamped Bills side. Bills played some guys last preseason too, in at least the first bit, and Sean McDermott always kind of does that. So I'm curious to see who will be playing in this Buffalo game. But Buffalo's working out some depth. I still like to see what they have beyond the guys that are going to be starting, but Bills Bears, I think it's a Sunday night. Should be an entertaining preseason game in terms of things.
I got Packers Colts only because I would like to see the dumpster fire that is the Indianapolis Colts.
You like that.
I forgot that Anthony Richardson is hurt.
Yes.
So that makes me, it doesn't make me happy. I don't like to see people actually like.
You were the one that made sure to let everybody know.
But also, like, what's going on over there?
I don't know, man. People aren't drinking their milk.
Who thought that Daniel Jones would be a good idea? What?
Daniel Jones, to me, signing with anybody is just a shrug.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
But then also, I don't know, the Packers are fun.
Yeah. Jorge, where you got at number two?
I got the Raiders against the Niners.
Oh, okay.
I want to see if, the defense for the Niners could play more than a quarter.
Yeah. They can play more than because
it was one quarter, but literally what they
good
played.
One quarter. You got your safety, and then they decided, hey, we can't play football anymore.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see if the Raiders come up with anything.
Yeah, that first unit needs more work. It's going to be interesting.
Number one.
It's going to be interesting because I have Niners and Raiders at my number one.
Oh.
I think there's a lot of battles to be won by both these teams. The Niners are a shell of themselves at the wide receiver position right now. It is so key for them to find the guys they need to trust at the top of the lineup there because they don't have IU to start the year. They don't have DeMarcus Robinson for three games. They are hopefully having Jennings ready with the hold-in, hold-out situation, and he's a guy that's so key for them.
So what, they got like Ricky Pearsall and that's it?
Pearsall and some guys. That's kind of what it is right now. I know
Pearsall and company.
I know they're playing as Kittle. I know they got McCaffrey, so I'm not like totally shortchanging the offense, but it is somewhat concerning when the guys on the outside are Pearsall, who has flashes. I'll give him credit there. Can I trust him to be healthy the entire year? He's got to be a guy who produces at the top, and then there got to be two or three guys below that in the depth chart for me to make it work. Plus, the Raiders, no sharp level of play in their game against Seattle. Some weird miscommunication penalties, some false starts, some illegal formation stuff. Kind of the same brand of Raider football we've seen over the last few years. I hope Uncle Pete can make it happen, but it just kind of felt like the same a little bit last week.
Woof.
That's my number one.
Yeah. Sicko pick.
Let's go.
Browns Eagles.
All right.
Because
there it is.
I cannot believe. I remember I talked to my buddy Vic of Mindless Society. We're at like Porch Fest, and I'm like, what is Cleveland doing with four quarterbacks on the depth chart right now and three of them get hurt?
Yes.
What happens if you have to trot someone out there? What if Joe Flacco goes down?
It's like,
what are you going to do?
The Browns are like the guy in the fantasy league who doesn't know how fantasy works. Just keeps grabbing quarterbacks thinking things are going to happen.
Yeah, I got 10 quarterbacks on my team.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Good pick. Jorge, round us out.
I'm going with the Chicago and the Bills.
Ooh, yes.
Because I want to see if the quarterback for Chicago is going to play or not.
If he's going to flip his you-know-what.
Something's going to happen. I want to see it.
The dude's looking like a head case. I think we're going to be watching more of him on the sideline than anything as far as the game is concerned. That's another factor of it. Who knows what happens? But anyways, good pick, Jorge.
Thank you.
That was Phil's 5-5.
I think my honorable mention, Chiefs Seahawks, just for the Fresno boys.
Yeah.
And then I wonder if the Patriots can, like, average 48 points per preseason game when they play the Vikings.
An honorable mention to the Cowboys and the Baltimore just to see the Cowboys lose.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
You just like that. Speaking of you like that, I miss Kirk. Has he been playing this preseason? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Maybe. I miss him. All right, well, let's take a break. When we come back, I'm going to have a one-on-one with Alexis Campbell from Fresno State Soccer coming up next on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Studio with Alexis Campbell of the Fresno State women's soccer team, who I'm happy to have her join us today. And Alexis, how are you doing? Good to have you in this afternoon.
Thank you. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Fantastic. You know, getting to, we've been kind of I know football, obviously, everybody talks about it, but we've been really trying to hit all the other sports, get to know all the other fall sports that are coming in. And, of course, you got your season coming up this year as well. And I got to imagine there's a lot of excitement, a lot of anticipation. You're back in the practices, back in the grind of getting into soccer shape. What has it been like these last few weeks?
Ooh, it's been a wave of emotions. It's been amazing. It's been hard. It's been emotional. It's been exciting. I think going into preseason, our last fall camp for me, I guess, because I'm a senior.
Yeah.
It's been so much easier, but it's also been just a little bit emotional because me and the other seniors will be like last day of preseason, things like that. And we're just trying to enjoy every minute of it, honestly. And this last week we finished preseason, so we're starting our one-a-days, getting into games, and it's just so exciting, and I'm loving this group of girls. Everyone's doing really well. So
yeah, when you because every season is a little bit different getting in, and some preseasons you're like, wow, we really need a grind here. And there's some where it's pretty, you know, things are clicking. You sounds like things feel like they're more clicking into place than the opposite, right? As far as everything, what is it like to be in that kind of environment?
I love it because these girls are making me better as a player. When things are clicking, then like everything starts, you see light at the end of the tunnel a little bit more. Cause now for you, you don't have to focus on the other things. You know, your teammates got your back, you know, you trust them. And I feel like a better soccer player this past spring season, leading up to preseason and our fall camp we just had, because of these girls and how we're clicking. And one of our big mottos is like, we play for each other. And because of that, I feel everyone can just relax a little bit on the field and just be themselves. So yeah, it's been great.
When you're yourself on the field, you feel like you can kind of trust what you do and trust where you're being at, as far as that's good. Of course, soccer is there's a lot of feel to it when it comes to it, right? And knowing exactly what that kind of is, you know, does it settle in easily when it's like that? And talk about that kind of translation between when you can trust yourself into being those spots, especially at the early part of the year.
Oh yeah, because Brian, also our coach, he allows us to be so creative on the field. You make a mistake, but you're trying something new that could really work if we get the hang of it. He loves it, and he motivates us to be creative, which gives me that kind of relief to just, okay, like, I can just do what I want to do, and obviously, like, according to our plan, but yeah, definitely at the beginning, for sure.
Absolutely. You guys are, like I said, preparing for the season and talking about just the group itself. What is this? Like, describe to me the group that this soccer team is. What's the, I don't know if there's a personality or a trait that like stands out the most, but what has popped up the most for you?
That's a good question, because this group of girls, there's so much personality on this team. Like, love all of these girls. There's always someone that's there. If you're feeling a little down, there's someone high energy that's going to pick you up or make you laugh across the field. There's teammates making funny faces across the field when you're exhausted, dying from a sprint we just did. But I think this team is very hopeful, and I think everyone is very motivated, I would say, because everyone's coming into practice ready to go. And I think they also, not just the seniors, but the underclassmen and the juniors, they know how much the season means to the seniors also. And I think they're just motivated to give us everything that they have as well to make the season the best for us.
Is it a big group of seniors here? Does it feel like there's a lot on it for you, your class you know, because sometimes players put pressure on it a little bit. Like, I want to make this count. I want to make this thing count. You know, what does that feel like going into this class?
Yeah, it's a big group of seniors. I think there's about 10 of us. So, and a lot of them started here together. So I transferred, so I wasn't here originally. But some of the girls, this is their last time playing. They don't really want to go pro, but they want to leave everything out this season. So it means a lot to them, for sure. It definitely means a lot. Like, our conversations in the locker rooms, our conversations, our senior meetings with the coaches, things like that. Everyone really shows that they want to be here. They want to give it their all. And it's emotional for everybody.
Yeah. And I know when that first game rolls and when things actually kind of get rolling, you know, obviously, then I would imagine it kind of takes the mindset out of that, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like, I think there's interesting aspects of sports where you get reflective at the beginning and then you get reflective at the end. But in the middle, you're just like,
yeah,
you're at, going at it. Do you feel like that when you, obviously you're preparing for your first game. Mm-hmm. What is that, tomorrow, right?
Yes, yeah. Tomorrow, UC Davis.
Yeah, so when people listen to this, it'll be tomorrow, which will be the 14th. Mm-hmm. What is that like? Do you feel like things just kind of, you go away from that kind of thought once the season kind of kicks, mm-hmm, off, and when that thought starts creeping in again about, wow, this is it.
Yeah, because like once you're in it, you're in it. But I think there's so much anticipation because we had our exhibition game against Pacific, and, you know, the results wasn't exactly what we wanted. We tied 3-3, should have won by a lot more. But I think it was, we were able to kind of see like, okay, this works. We're connecting here. This is like everything we've kind of been working for is like flowing and working out. And then once we do play UC Davis tomorrow, and I think we're gonna have a great game, it'll just set the stage for the rest of the season. Because once we're in it, I feel like we're not gonna be like, have these little moments like, oh my gosh, like this is our last time.
Yeah.
Like, I think we're just gonna have to ride it through, and hopefully we're riding it all the way to the College Cup.
Yeah.
You never know.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Y'all got off to a great start last year in the preseason,
oh, yeah,
right? Especially in the non-conference side, you know. You saw the record in conference, and I know there were a lot of tight battles, a lot of close, mm-hmm, ones there in terms of that. So is there a lot banking in the fact, like, we were close? Record-wise, it's not where it was, but you felt like a lot of things could have flipped in terms of that record because of how close you were in those Mountain West mm-hmm, matches.
We were so close in the Mountain West matches. And preseason, like you said, we had such a great start, beating really good teams, really good ranked teams. And I don't know, it was such close games, and we were so close, but so far. I know Colorado State was one in my head. I think we lost 3-2, and we were so close to winning that game, and it just sucked because we had so much potential that season, and it kind of just, we let it slide, like, get, mm-hmm, out of our hands. So this year we just don't want that to happen. So
is there a lot of conversation about that, or
yeah,
how do you come out of that with a lot of the returnees? Do you build on that into this season, or I know it's a next day mentality sometimes in sports, sometimes, mm-hmm, short memory works, but I wonder what that is like as far as the conversation leading into this season.
I think we tried to do the short-term memory. So after that season happened, new group of girls, it's spring season. And I think we really found what worked for our team in the spring. So with the newcomers, we only have three, so not a lot. But with those three girls, we're kind of just like super past last fall. And, you know, there are some conversation like, okay, like that happened, but like, let's not have that happen. Like, we need to like want it more than we did in the fall. So I think spring we got all of that out, and we had a really good go in the spring, so I'm really proud of this group for that. But yeah, I think we're ready. I think we're past that fall, and we're moved on, short-term memory, mm-hmm, and yeah.
Yeah, and you've got a lot of good opportunity ahead right now to, mm-hmm, get things back, because, you know, like I said last year, the momentum of the beginning of the season, you can find that again, and especially with some good opponents that are coming up, and here with, obviously, you got Davis, you got Pauley, Santa Barbara coming in, Sac State, to just name a few. When match day arrives for this team, you know, what is exciting about this to showcase what this team is capable of, and maybe if you can enlighten, maybe what kind of soccer we see from this Bulldog, mm-hmm, squad this year.
Those three names you just named, those are very respectable teams. So I think if we come out strong against UC Davis, Cal Poly's always a great game against us, and SAC, that'll just really give us that kind of confidence going into the season. I think this year's Fresno State women's soccer team, we're very possessive. We want to keep that ball. We want to build together a lot of tiki-taka, a lot of things like that. And we just want to show off the talent that we all have. And that's really, we're all comfortable with the ball at our feet. So that's how we're going to play it this season.
What level of concentration does it take to be a possessive team in soccer? Because I got to imagine, you know, there's a lot to the sport, especially when you have to have a lot go right if you're going, mm-hmm, to make all of these passes work and have the percentage of passes be completed. So what level of concentration does it take to be a possessive soccer team?
I would say it's a high level for sure, because you have to trust your teammates, and we not only work on how comfortable we are on the ball, but it's also off the ball. So your teammates need to be constantly moving, constantly there for you as an option, and you have to be doing the same. And you also have to be checking your shoulder, looking up, making sure that you see these options and playing quick. So high level concentration, and we've really been working on just being able to trust each other and kind of have that instinct of, because I play midfield, so I have two other midfielders with me, and it's, I feel like our chemistry together has gotten so good this preseason, because I'm trusting them and they're trusting me, and I kind of know the runs that they may make, and they know the runs I like, so things like that. A lot of concentration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel a lot of responsibility being in that midfield with a lot of that possessive style soccer? Like what level of importance do you feel like your role is in terms of the strategic part of this team?
I feel like it's a lot of importance. I think if I'm not doing my job, then it really affects both sides of it, the attackers and the defenders. I just really try and do my job and just fill in where I need to be filled in. And obviously I'm a hard worker, I like to say, and I'm also very possessive. I like to keep the ball, slow the game down, and being the only attacking mid up there, I really need to make sure I'm combining with the D mids and the defenders, and being that like that plug for the forwards too. So I'm that person, like connecting both of them together. So it's a big importance, and I really like it. I like being involved in all the plays. I like being involved defensively and offensively. So it gives me a lot of room to like I said, I like being creative. So it gives me all that room and everything I want to do on the field. Yeah.
Well, you were named to a preseason watch list for this season. What honor does that bring, and does it provide any spark for you when you see the preseason stuff come out about the conference and everything like that?
It's such an honor, and I'm just very proud of myself, because I feel like I've been working really hard all spring, all preseason, and it's just nice to see wow, my hard work's really paying off, and I just really want to be a big contribution to this team and help this team win. So, yeah, it's great. And it gives me a lot of confidence for sure going into season, and a little bit of pressure. But, I do like a lot of pressure. I think it makes me a better soccer player. So, yeah, definitely I'm loving that. I'm grateful for that for sure.
That's fantastic. Alexis Campbell here, Fresno State women's soccer, and on Behind the Bench here. I want to talk about just your journey a little bit about getting to here, because it is everybody takes their own path to get to this program. You come from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
You were at Cincinnati beforehand, but I want to go back to just your family ties. A lot of good soccer in there. I'm even pointing out to your sister, who some say best soccer player at Dayton.
Oh, yeah. Hall of Famer at Dayton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was it like watching her play before you, and what kind of inspiration did she provide?
So my sister, she's 10 years older than me. So I kind of watched her grow up, go through the college experience. She went to University of Dayton. And, me and my parents were driving down there on weekends to go watch her and her teammates play. And it was insane. I think the reason I really started getting into soccer was because of her. And she's always been such a good player. And my dad, my dad loves the game. He loves it. And he loves his girls. My parents did so much for me. And, watching my sister, she played for Team Canada, U-20s, Hall of Famer at University of Dayton. And leading, I think, top goal scorer ever at that program.
That's what I got. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was just I had a big shoes to fill. Me and her are definitely two different players, but just even training with her, getting to watch her, it's so motivating. I got to meet so many amazing soccer players because of her, Kadisha Buchanan. I'm just going to shout her out because I always admired her. She plays for Team Canada.
Yeah.
But watching my sister grow up was amazing. And it kind of made my path going to college so much easier because my dad's been through it. So when he was Alexis, we're going to get you to play D1. That's your goal. We're going to do it. He kind of knew the path that it took. So it was a lot, I think, an ease on my parents. I was his second daughter doing it.
Well, I got to imagine. And like you said, you kind of ease the experience for sake because you get to lean on obviously your dad and your sister going through it. You know, and I'd imagine, you know, finding your path to that D1 side, which you got to Cincinnati there. You know, I'm curious, you know, what drew you to Fresno? Because you can't really drive from Ontario, right. Canada to Fresno. It's more of a flight. But what about Fresno in California drew you to this part of the country to learn soccer or to play soccer?
So when I decided I was going to transfer from Cincinnati, I was kind of like, okay, like I wanted to look bigger than just soccer kind of. I wanted to go somewhere warm, no snow. I grew up with snow.
I'd be tired of snow too.
Oh yeah, so much snow, and at Cincinnati definitely got real cold over there. So I'm just like imagining me 7 a.m. in the morning tying my cleats, shivering. Like I was like, I think I need a little break from that. And the beauty of like that playing college soccer is you can go anywhere you want to go. So I think my biggest places where I wanted to go was Florida, California, even Texas. And I also love how California girls play soccer. It's very how I play, very possessive, very on the ground. And when I was in that transfer portal and Fresno State reached out to me, I've heard of them because of their football programs and their basketball programs, but I wasn't too like sure about the soccer. And Brian sent me film. I came and visited and met the girls, instantly fell in love with the team. And I can still stand on that today. I love these girls down. They're amazing girls. And I love the coaching staff. I wanted a coach that would allow me to be creative, like I've talked about. And that was Brian. He stood by me. And he, I might have tried one or two things. He's like, let's not do that again. But he still stood by me. And yeah, I was like, you know what? Fresno State it is. It's in the Valley. It's in California. Yeah, but Mountain West Conference, very competitive conference. Utah State, which I feel like is a known soccer program. Same with San Diego State and Colorado State, those in Boise. So there's some big names in the conference. And I was like, I want a competitive conference and somewhere warm. And yeah, Fresno State had it all for me.
Somewhere you can avoid the snow, or at least go to the snow when you want to.
Yeah, exactly.
When you have to. You know, it's great to see you here, and obviously for coming off of last year to this year, where do you hope your game grows? We mentioned like what your responsibilities are, but where you where do you hope to grow your game in this year and this season?
I just want to bring out the best player I can be, and I know I haven't reached that yet. Obviously, you're always reach like chasing that. So, I think I just want to score as much as possible. I think that I'm more of a playmaker in the past, and I don't have a lot of stats because I'm more of, you know, I'm doing the dirty work. I'm playmaking, things like that. And this year I really want to score for my team and assist more, things along those lines. And then, of course, reach a high potential to possibly play pro after.
Yeah.
So that would be amazing.
Obviously. Yeah. Get into it. And soccer's growing. Like,
oh, yeah.
Day by day, year by year. You know, you see the Women's League out there and getting a lot more popularity. We see the Women's World Cup gain a lot of popularity. What is it like to just see the sport grow in that interest and seeing it pop up everywhere around the country where people have more access to watch women's soccer?
It's like so motivating because I get to watch women play Chelsea and I get to watch the NSL league in Canada that just started. And I know so many girls, so many girls I've played with in the past that are playing there, and they're getting paid a decent amount and they're loving it. It's a great experience. I think we never had that in Canada before. So that's amazing. And just like having so much access to women's sports, it's funny because my dad, he's such an advocate for women's sports. Like he always has a women's game going on, and I love that for him because he's really motivated me to watch all these women's sports. Even I used to watch a lot of men's soccer and look up to men's soccer players and things like that, but the men's game is so different than the women's game, I feel, in like little tiny ways. So being able to just find like my woman players that I really look up to, it's great. I love it.
I'm curious, did you end up going to the, I'm sure you got a chance to go see the World Cup when it was in Canada, right? Was that like a soak it in
moment, a great experience
for you?
Oh yeah, great experience. And like seeing the talent from these women, it's like, and they're not all super young, like they're older and so mature like players. So it's like, it's crazy to like look up to girls like that, well, women like that, I guess. And yeah. be able to see like, wow, I'm like not even close to my potential. Like it's motivating though. It's motivating.
That's awesome. Let's bring it around and go full circle here and go back to just quickly Fresno State. And I'll leave it on this question. What is the potential of this team and where can it go this year for the Fresno State Bulldogs?
This team has so much potential. And when I say that, I'm genuinely saying like, I love playing on this team because of how talented these girls are and how connected they are on the field. So the potential of this team, I see us winning the conference. Like there's no reason why I don't think we should win. Like we are such good girls. We work hard and everyone's so passionate about playing. And this is our last year together with this complete group of girls. So everyone's like, we got to make it happen this year for each other, for this program, for our coaches. So, yeah, I see us winning this conference, honestly. And College Cup would be amazing.
Yeah.
That would be a great experience.
We love winning here at Fresno State. I think you've gotten the sense of that for sure around it all. So we can't wait to see what this team is capable of. Of course, the season home opener, I think, will be August 21st.
Yes.
So people get a chance to go see you guys play Cal Poly over right there next to Bulldog Stadium. Alexis, fantastic info there. And I appreciate you coming on the show. And best of luck on the rest of the season.
Thanks so much for having me. Thank you.
Absolutely. We'll take a break. We'll be right back with more Behind the Bench right after this on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno. Big thanks to Alexis Campbell for joining us in the previous segment there. Fresno State soccer in action tomorrow on the road as they take on UC Davis. Their first home game is next Thursday against Cal Poly, like we said at the end of that interview. So I would encourage, you know what? I think Fresno State fans should at least have the opportunity to try to go to at least one of the fall sports this semester. I think that's a good goal. If you're a true Fresno State supporter, not just the football, go to soccer, go to volleyball.
Have you been to that field?
I've been to that field. I've worked that field. I've done camera work for Mountain West Network back
in
my day.
No. Well, they put up new benches and
yeah,
they have.
I remember
really
when
nice,
they were putting that up.
Nice.
Yeah.
They have a really nice.
It's a good spot. It's a good spot set up. Mm-hmm. Watch some good soccer. Asa, is that something? Is that an attainable goal? Try to go to at least one.
Go to one thing that's not a football game. I mean, go to like obviously go to the football games, but yeah, I mean,
do what you want. But I would encourage if be a football.
There are worse ways to spend your time.
What are the other events? I'm trying to remember as far as like we have golf. Just go see a Fresno State golf tournament. Yeah,
can you do that?
They're on the road a lot.
You could watch a volleyball game on Saturday or like the Saturday of a football game, and then later on just
go to the football game.
Make a day out of it. Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah. The volleyball team's very good, by the way. Very good. Certainly a prime opportunity to win another Mountain West.
Did they make like a pretty deep playoff run?
Years ago, they won the Mountain West That's tournament. What it was. Last year, they missed out on it, or missed out on the title there. So. By the way, you want to hear this day on sports history real quick? In sports history. 9 years ago today, we had MLB new thing that happened, or whatever, the first time teammates hit their first career home runs in their first at-bats of the same game. Guess who that was? Yankees' Tyler Austin and Yankees' Aaron Judge hit his first career homer today, 9 years ago.
Yeah.
I remember that being a big thing, and I was like, and I think everyone thought Tyler Austin was going to be the bigger deal, not Judge. I don't think anybody really believed in Aaron Judge as a guy who could be a sustainable baseball player just based off of the size and him having to cover his entire strike zone. Well, I think things worked out.
I think a lot of people debated whether he was going to make it or not. I mean, he obviously had the pedigree from college, and everyone knew he could hit, but there was some doubt there if he could, you know, become an all-star and, you know, a big big player in the MLB.
But here he is, and he's doing the thing, as the kids say. I don't know what they say.
Something like that.
Anyways. By the way, go to our social media platforms, at least my Twitter, ESPN, our ESPN Fresno social media. Guess what we put out today? We put out the Friday Night Lights schedule, all of it. We put out all of it on our social media platforms today.
Oh, I saw that.
Today.
That was cool.
We have traditionally been revealing it week by week as we go. I want to do something different. I know people are going to be like, where's our game? Where's this game? It's subject to change, folks. It is subject to change. So there's your little disclaimer in there. If things happen to have to move around, right now this is our initial plan of where our Friday Night Lights will be. You see the Pat Hill indicator next to it. Those are the games Pat Hill will be on. And we are excited to bring another season of Friday Night Lights. Like we announced last week, it's going to be Central East versus Inglewood over at Collegian. I am fearful for the temperatures of that game. I already saw 104 on the Thursday before that. So I cannot wait to see what that'll look like. But regardless, actually, I kind of hope it's that's the heat-up weekend, because that means the Fresno State home opener would be somewhat
not
manageable.
As hot?
Yeah, it's usually it's up and down,
that's
up and
true.
Down. I'd rather it burn us up that weekend and then come
down.
Yeah,
take your L today so you can get a W tomorrow.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right. So, Jorge, excited about the Friday Night Lights schedule? It looks like a great slate.
Yeah, it's always good to have, you know, I've been doing this for some time now, and it's always good to have some games all around the valley, like the central valley. So, yeah, we're gonna go places.
We got Kerman down there. We got Redwood on the schedule, home game in Redwood.
Really?
Down in Visalia. Yeah, we're gonna go down to Redwood and Hanford. We got all kinds of different things scheduled out. So
that's fun.
Kerman's on the schedule. Did I say that? Sanger, Madera. We got a lot of things going on there. All right, guys. Appreciate it. Good show. Scheduling things. A's and Rays coming up on 790 at 6:30 pregame. And coming up next right now, 6:35, Grizzlies pregame against the Ports. Grizzlies baseball on 1430. We'll be back tomorrow live at Fashion Furniture. Until then, y'all have a good night. See you later.